Okay, praise the Lord. This morning we are going to be continuing our series on giving. This is giving part three, subtitled The Tithe. And as you know, those of you who have been here or listened online, we are talking about giving in its broader sense and talking about all of the different aspects of giving. That it's not just about money, it's about all aspects of our life. It's really looking at whether we are, as a human, as a person, are we a giver or are we a withholder? Do we freely give from that which God has given us, from our time, our talent, our treasure, or do we withhold for whatever reason, whether we are fearful, whether we're trying to hurt somebody and get even with them, or whether we're feel like our gift is insignificant, or whatever the reason, are we a giver or are we a withholder? And we said that God is a giver, so we should be givers. We're not going over all the different aspects of part one and part two. We're going to basically get straight into part three, except for I did want to go over a couple more things. If you will go to the green slide. Remember last week, is Joseph here this week? There he is. Remember when Joseph did such a wonderful job helping me out? Well, Joseph got blessed, and a couple others got blessed, but I wanted to make sure that maybe a few more of the children got blessed this morning. So, Joseph, you did get blessed last week. Okay. What we're talking about is the cycle of giving and receiving, what we're going to briefly go back to before we get into the tithe. And we said that in this cycle of giving and receiving, who is the source of all things? God is the source. So for this cycle to ever get started, God has to give to us. And that's no problem for Him. We learned last week that there's no lack with God. Because He's a giver, He's not in the cycle of withholding and lack. He is the source of all things. So God gives to us, we receive, and then we give back to God in the area of, first and foremost, what's the first thing we always give back? Anybody remember? We give our thanks. Thanks is the most and first thing, most important first thing that could ever happen is thanks. One person said to me a long time ago, this is before I was ever a Christian, he said, the most important thing that one person could do for another is to give something to them that's meaningful. And he said, and the most important thing that that person could do in return is to receive it with thanks and offer thanks. So, we give back to God our thanks. We also give back to God anything that He requires of us. And we'll find out from this lesson today and the next one some of the things that God requires to give back to Him directly. But we also see that in the process of giving to God, we give to God indirectly by giving to others who, if they're taught correctly and have a heart to do so, would give thanks back to us, but we don't do it for that reason, but we get thanks back. And then also, God oftentimes gives to us, not necessarily directly, but indirectly through others. Remember Jesus said, "Given should be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom." So, God gets others involved in this giving process in order to get things to us. So, Joseph, do you mind helping me out again today? Okay. Well, we want to make sure, because there's other people that probably would like to be blessed. Yeah. How many of you would like to be blessed this morning? You adults, you're out of the picture, okay?
What if you have childlike qualities?
I know a few of those. Okay, Joseph. Two things that we could do here. You could give to someone because I, remember, I'm pretending to be God. I am not God, and I'm nowhere close to Him, but I'm getting closer all the time, but nowhere close. But I'm pretending right now to be God, just for purposes of illustration. So, and you're my faithful servant. You proved yourself to me that you can obey me and trust me. You didn't get all upset last week when I gave you something, and immediately as you were walking back to your seat, I said, oh, give it to somebody else. You were okay with that, and you were okay because?
Because you can give me stuff more. You can give me more.
There's no lack with me, and if I got it to you once, yep, I could get it to you again. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. So, as a matter of obedience, could you go give that to Malachi?
There he is.
Okay. Now, Joseph is proven to be a really good... Come on up. Joseph is proven to be a really good source. I mean, not source, but a really good channel for my blessing to get to others. I wonder if that fine young man right there, if you would like to give him that for me. Yeah, that's Trevor.
Hey, Trevor,
Joseph, why don't you come back? And do you have a sister here?
Yep.
Which one's the oldest one?
Abigail.
Abigail? Why don't you give that to her?
Okay.
Okay, you're obeying me, aren't you? You could pretend like I didn't say that, and you could just keep it. She's up here. You could just put that in your pocket and walk away, but what would happen? Do you think I'd trust you to do it in the future?
No.
Okay.
If I just forgot about it, then no.
What? Do you have any money in your pocket?
No. That's...
You sure? No, no money. Okay. Now, there's two ways you could do it. You could either obey me when I tell you to give, or because you have spent time with me and in my Word and from my Holy Spirit, you're learning what it means to be like me, and so you have a heart that's compassionate. Is there anybody out there that you would just like to give to?
There's Emily.
Let's just start with one. Let's just start with one.
Emily. I see Emily.
Which one, Emily or Avalee?
Emily.
Okay. All right. Now, why don't you then, because you have a heart to do something for her, why don't you go give her something? Give her a dollar or a quarter or whatever. You don't have. Well, maybe if you have a heart to do it, you could come ask me, could I help you be a blessing?
Yeah, could you help me be a blessing?
I would love to help you be a blessing. Now, the children are getting some dollars out of this, and I hope they're getting a lesson out of this, but I think I'm really wanting the adults to get something here. We don't just have to ask for ourselves. Every time I preach, I want you right here with me, okay? You know, it's perfectly okay. In fact, the Lord loves it when we get a heart to give and we go to Him and say, Lord, I'd love to be able to be a help somewhere. I'd love to be able to be a help in Eric's life or Aaron's life or James's life. I'd love to be a help. Lord, I don't have the funds to do it. I know you can get it to them anyway, but it sure blessed me if I could be a blessing to them. Could you help me be a blessing? Is that a good prayer to pray? Amen. It is. Okay. Now, one thing I haven't heard. Children, those of you who have gotten a dollar, did anybody say thank you? Did anybody say thank you? Malachi did. Thank you, Malachi. That's good. Okay. I've got a few dollars left, and here's what we want to do for these $5 that are left. And if anybody gets left out, that's another lesson I want you everybody to learn. If you get left out, it's just not your Sunday. It doesn't mean it's not coming. How many people get all bent out of shape because they see others getting blessed and they don't get blessed? They see others receiving something from God, whether it's a word from God, God spoke to them in a meeting and gave them a really good word, or they got money or something. You know, and then they get all bent out of shape because, where's mine? Well, it just didn't happen this week. God is in control of these things. And there's sometimes reasons for it, and other times it hasn't got there yet. It's coming. So that's what I've learned to do over time. I look at myself and say, is there something impeding the flow in my life? I go before God and say, God, is there some reason why I'm not in a good place? Have I gotten out of the cycle of giving and receiving? Have I gotten over into withholding? Am I in a cycle of lack? Because I put myself there. Because I haven't been thankful. Or because I haven't been a giver. Or whatever reason. I've been lazy at work. Which we haven't talked about work at all. But anyway, just children, if anybody doesn't get something this morning, don't be upset. Okay, just continue to be thankful and say, my time is coming. Okay, and you parents, maybe later on, if you see that you need to step in and help out, if you need to be a channel of blessing to somebody who didn't get something today, then it's, you know, you can help God out or not. But anyway, we have others. So, Joseph, let's see. Raise your hand if you didn't get a dollar last week or this week or any money. Put your hand down, Jason. Why don't you take that and take this and give it to the first five? Well, you make up your mind. Okay, I'm telling you. Wait a minute. Let's do it properly. You received, so it's the first thing you do. Say thank you. Okay, we're going to do something all together in a minute. Nah, it was a nice, loud thank you. I like that. Okay, one more. Okay. Did you say thank you? Good girl. All right, now what we're going to do is, remember, we thank the person who gave it to us, but who was the one who was the source that made it happen? God was the source. So let's all bow our heads. And all of you who received, everybody's going to get involved, okay? All of you who received, either last week or this week, let's say thank you to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Repeat after me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Amen. Okay, now we're going to continue to pray. Anybody that didn't get blessed last week and this week, I want you to pray with me. Thank you, Lord, that my time is coming, and I patiently wait for you to bless me. Amen. Okay, so that's basically the giving and receiving cycle. We receive, we give thanks. And then we give thanks to the person who gave it to us. If a man was involved, we always give thanks to God. And what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, and then we also give of what God gave to us. A tithe goes back to Him, which we're going to learn about today, which is the tenth. And then also we're always open and willing and ready to give when God says give to others. And when we see a need, when we're moved with compassion. Amen? Amen? All right, real quickly, Susan, stand up. I want you to get a good view. Anybody who didn't get blessed last week or this week, you children now, not Jason. Anybody who didn't receive something this week or last week, raise your hand. Can you that are raising your hands come see Sister Susan after the service? We want to make sure everybody gets blessed, okay? All right, if you didn't get blessed in the service, because we want everybody to be blessed. And that's the heart of God. Doesn't always happen this quickly. It doesn't happen necessarily. Sometimes we have to wait a long time for our blessing, but our blessing is always coming. So be sure and see Sister Susan after the service. Okay, turn with me in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. And we'll begin in verse 8. Part 3 is once again entitled The Tithe. Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. This is the Lord speaking. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? The Lord speaking again says, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay. What does the tithe mean? Well, first of all, it comes under, it's not what it means, but the tithe comes under the main category of giving. Tithe isn't all of giving. Some people who have been taught tithing, and it's been very strict in their religious upbringing, believe that if they give a tithe, they're done. The tithe is just one of the areas where God says that we give. So it comes under the main category of giving. But what does it mean? As a noun, which is a person, place, or thing, as a thing, it means the tenth part or 10%. If you had a dollar and you were going to give a tithe of that dollar, that tithe would be what?
1 cent.
Almost. That's 1%. Tithe is 10%, so what is it? Yeah. 10. Okay, very good. A tithe is a tenth part or 10%. So if you had a dollar, it would be one dime. If you had $10, that was your increase, then it would be $1. If you had $100, it would be 10. Okay, Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 and then 32, it says, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And concerning the tithe, this is verse 32, and concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So a tithe is that 10%. Another meaning of tithe is the verb form, which means the giving of the tenth. You know, you can have a tenth that isn't given. There can be a tithe that isn't tithed. It means the giving of the tenth part or 10% to God. Deuteronomy 14, 22 and 23, thou shalt truly tithe or give the 10% all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which thou shalt choose to place his name there. the tithe of thy corn, thy wine, of thy oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. The next thing is, it's the 10% of any increase that we receive. Okay, so it's the 10%, but 10% of what? Of any increase. How we're increased. We're increased in by the way of wages. We're increased by the way of gifts, return on investments, and inheritance, just to name a few. Those are ways that we're increased. And that comes from Deuteronomy chapter 14. Another thing we see about the tithe is that it is the Lord's. It belongs to Him. Matthew 27 and 30 says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." We read that a few minutes ago. And then also we read in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein robbed me? In tithes and offerings. It's not robbing God if it was just a free will gift. If it was a free will gift, just like we saw over in the book of Acts, when Ananias and Sapphira decided to lie to the Holy Ghost, what did Peter say to him? When it was in your own hand, wasn't it yours? You didn't have to lie about it. It was yours to do with. It wasn't robbing God when they sold the when they sold the land and gave the money. But the tithe, when the tithe is not paid unto God, then God is being robbed because that belongs to Him. It's not a free will gift, as we'll see in a little bit. Everyone has a tithe to give. Not everyone gives a tithe. Everyone has a tithe to give. Everyone has 10%. Whatever you get paid, whatever wages that you get paid, whatever gift comes to you, whatever inheritance comes to you, whatever, in any way you're increased, whatever you find on the ground, look around and can't see whose owner it is, and somehow you accept it as your own, that's an increase. However your increase, a 10% of that belongs to God, but not everybody gives that 10%. Okay, so what is the purpose of a tithe? Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, he says that there may be meat in mine house. That is the, he said, let me go back. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be, or for this reason, for this purpose. This is the purpose of the tithe. Bring the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, saith the Lord. Why did there need to be meat in his house or provision in the house? Well, first of all, it was to provide for the priests and Levites. The priests were those who ministered spiritual things and were totally devoted to that and did not have an inheritance in the land. They did not have a way of making other money. So God said, I'm going to provide for my priests, those who minister spiritual things. I'm going to provide for them by way of tithe. Everybody else who has inheritance will give a tenth part, and that will take care of them. And also the Levites. The Levites were those who took care of the natural things, the non-spiritual things in the house of God. Those are the ones who took care of the lighting. They took care of making sure everything came together. They included the singers and so on and so forth. The Levites. Numbers chapter 18, verses 20 through 32 says that it's to be given to them for their inheritance. They did not have an inheritance in the land. The tithe was their inheritance. It was to be given to the priests and Levites so that they would be encouraged in the law of the Lord. There's nothing, and I know everybody can understand this, There is nothing more discouraging and disheartening than to be in an area of lack, to be without. It's very disheartening. It's hard to go about. It's not impossible, but it's hard to do what you're called to do when you're in a place of lack. And God wanted His servants who lived for Him, served Him, and did the things of the temple, spiritual or natural, He wanted them to receive this blessing so they would be encouraged in the law of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 19, they were told to forsake not the Levite as long as you live upon the earth. That this is to be a priority. It's not a thing that is light in the eyes of God. It is a very important thing. Do not forsake the Levite. Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 10 through 12. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled, everyone to his field. This was Nehemiah talking about when the children of Israel were taken captive, and they were allowed to come back, some of them, to reestablish Jerusalem, to build the wall, to build the temple, and to reestablish worship and get things back going as the children of God ought to. And they came under opposition, the building of the wall. There was political opposition. There was physical opposition. There's all kinds of things going on. And people weren't giving the way they should. And the Levites didn't have what they needed. So they went out and started working fields. They started being hired hands at different places. And Nehemiah saw this, and he saw that the portions of the Levites had not been given. And this is what he said. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place, then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil into the treasuries. Nehemiah got it established again. So the Levites and the priests and the singers and everybody that worked in the temple should come back into the temple and should do their work for God and get paid for doing so. That's the first thing, the purpose for the tithe, is to take care of the house of God and the people who worked and did the ministry there. The next thing is, Deuteronomy chapter 26 and 12 shows us that it's not just the priests and the Levites. The tithe was also given to provide for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And we'll see this more clearly in a few minutes. But not only those who worked in the temple, but those who had needs, genuine needs, were to have their needs met through coming to the temple and receiving help. What is another purpose of the tithe? Well, another purpose is so that we enter into a program with God, a covenant with God, that He has the ability then to bless us. It puts us in the cycle of giving and receiving. Remember, God said in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, He says, prove me now herewith. And He said, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not have room to receive. When we enter into the covenant of tithing and pay God that which is due unto Him, we enter into that circle of trust where we believe God's going to continue to do what God said He would do. We would continue to give in all areas of giving, starting with the tithe, and then going from there, and God would then bless us and give to us. And we would receive, and the cycle of giving and receiving would continue. In 2 Chronicles 31:20-21, it says that we did that which was right and prospered. Philippians, in the New Covenant, Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Listen to what Paul says. Not because I desire a gift. Paul is the one in spiritual authority. He's the New Testament version of the priest that would receive a gift or his living supplied by the church. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit, that fruit may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to the Lord. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. One of the reasons for the tithe is not only to take care of the house of God and the people who work there, and to take care of those who have needs in the family of God and who can't get their needs met anywhere else, they can come and receive help. Not only does that happen, but it puts us in a place where God can bless us. The Old Testament said that. The New Testament confirms it. Some people say, oh yeah, that's just preacher talk. And there are some that are out there who all they want your money. They don't care if you're blessed or not. There's schemes going around to get your money. I'm not saying that this isn't true, that people are out for your money just so that they can be blessed. What I am saying is, not everybody's that way, and God's system is not designed that way. God's system is that there are some who truly do want you to give so that you can receive, to put you in a place where you will be a candidate of blessing for God. Amen? The next thing is, what is the storehouse? Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. What is a storehouse? I've heard TV preachers say the storehouse is the place where you get fed. So if you're being fed by this ministry, send your tithe here. If you're getting blessed by God, send your tithe here. That is a perversion of the truth of this, what God is saying here. The storehouse is not where you get fed spiritually by the Word of God. Anywhere it comes, the storehouse is the place where your spiritual leaders labor. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves as they that submit yourselves because they labor for you as those that must give an account. So, who in your life is devoted to your spiritual well-being and overseeing? Well, nobody is. Nobody cares about me. Well, you're not in the right place, or people's heart aren't right, or your heart's not right. Something's wrong if that's the case. The place where people genuinely care, your spiritual leaders genuinely care for you, they care about your soul, they care about your well-being, they care about your spiritual well-being, they care about your financial well-being. That is the place where your storehouse is. It's the local church where the spiritual leaders labor for your care and well-being. It's the place where you are committed and where there is commitment to you. If you fell on hard times, would the preacher on the TV be committed to seeing you through that? I don't think so. The storehouse is where you are committed. It's a local church where you're committed, where there is also a commitment to you, that if you became one of those who needed the blessing and the help, there is a commitment to work with you and to help you and to see you come to a better place in your life. That doesn't happen through TV ministry. I say unequivocally that to send tithe to a TV ministry, an online ministry, somewhere where you're not face-to-face, where you're not known, where you're not being ministered to specifically, that is not the storehouse for you. Your storehouse is your local church. I'm reminded of a time when I was at another, I was on staff at a church, and one of my responsibilities was to help those who came to the church for with needs, because it was the policy of the church to do what we could to help. There was a food bank there at the church, and one of the things that we always would do, at least once or twice, is take the people to the food bank and let them get food to take home with them. Nobody went home empty-handed. This particular time, a man came in, and he had been coming to the food bank on a regular basis, and I had helped him. I'd taken him out there, and I'd ministered to him. I'd prayed with him. And this is about the third or fourth time that he had come for help, like in a row, in a week, every other week or every week. And I said to him, I said, well, what we're going to need to do going forward? I said, I've just taken you at your word that you're in a tough patch right now. We're going to bless you and help you. We've given them some money as well. There were some bills that we helped them with. He kept coming back. And I'm not saying, I know that there are needs that are chronic. I know that there are needs that take a long time to work out. But if you don't look to the heart of the situation and fix the problem, the result of the problem will always be there. So I said, what we're going to need to do going forward is I really want to be a help to you. Why don't you tell me what has caused the problem? Tell me what your bills are. Tell me what you're doing to look for a job. Let me see what I can do to help long term and not just these little short term band-aids. He said, so you're not going to give me money and food? I said, not immediately. I said, we'll go out there and we'll do that again, but let's start working on the problem. I don't want you in my business. How can I help if you're not going to open up and allow me? You mean you're not going to help me? I said, well, if you're going to take that attitude, no, I'm not. I want to. I want to help you long term. I got my own problems, folks. I don't need to know your problems just to know them. I don't need to take on your burdens just to take them on just because I'm nosy. If I ever want to get involved in somebody's life, it's in order to help. It's a commandment of God to minister to people at that level. And if I failed to do that, I'd be failing to help, failing to be a true spiritual leader. And this guy didn't want that. He wanted always a fish, but he never wanted to be taught how to fish. And in the end, he got mad. And this Christian brother who came in as a Christian, needing help, all, you know, kind of low and submissive, because he didn't get what he wanted, when he wanted it, how he wanted it, he cursed me out and left the building. Brothers and sisters, it just showed that I was on the right track and doing the right thing, and there was something deeper that needed to be ministered to. So the storehouse is the place where you can receive the help you need, and if it's a place where bills need to be met, if there's funds there, we work out a way. What can we do to help? Is there any other place we can tap into? And if it's ongoing, then we work to see how can we be a storehouse in other areas? How can we be a help in other ways? Okay, next, how to give the tithe. First of all, we give it to the Lord. It belongs to Him. In fact, it all belongs to Him. We are just stewards of what He has given us. Now, I'm going to break from my usual. I don't normally read material from other people. in my messages. Usually I go with what the Lord shows me directly, and that's sufficient. But I ran across something that I found that was just so good. I thought, I've got to read this, and I had to make myself quit at a certain point because it went on from there. If anybody wants to look at this later, see it in its fullness, and finish the rest of it, I found it at Stewards Not Owners is the title of the thing at Bible.org. Stewards Not Owners at Bible.org. This is part one, Biblical Financial Stewardship. Facing how we think about money. Financial advice comes from everywhere. Now, I'm telling you where I found this from. I don't know the name of the person who wrote it. It might have been there, but it was kind of confusing how things were laid out. And I didn't want to give credit to the wrong person, so I'm not giving credit to anybody except for this website. And I apologize to the person who wrote this for not being able to clearly give the credit. Financial advice comes from everywhere. At the bookstore, in the mall, we can find plenty of books telling us how to earn more or how to invest or save better. We also get abundant advice from those who tell us how to spend our money. It's called advertising. Or the pressure to spend comes from what our peers have. And if we are involved in the religious world of churches and ministry organizations, we also hear a plethora of voices telling us where we should give our money. But the most persuasive financial advice we get is the voice in our own head. Somewhere in the process of growing up, we develop our own private financial philosophy. Our personal values are shaped by parents, perhaps, but also learned by experience. Our financial mistakes made life unpleasant, or maybe we experienced financial windfalls or had doting benefactors, but each experience marked our thinking. Altogether, that brought us to what we now believe and value about money and material possessions. Unfortunately, there is a universal flaw usually lurking in our well-tuned and often defended ideas. The flaw is that our ideas about money usually boil down to what I think is best for me. Selfishness hides in every financial decision we make. I take a certain job because I think it's the best for me and my situation. I buy what I buy because I want to enjoy it. I refrain from buying other things because it leaves me money, more money, to do what I value more or gives me more security later. Even the money I give away is usually selfishly motivated. Giving either makes me feel good or look good, a combination of both plus a tax benefit. Could it be that our view of money is all about me? If there is another way to live, it will mean another way to think. How God thinks about money. Before Larry Burkett became a leading voice in the Christian world on the voice of money, on the subject of money and material things, he was a Christian businessman who happened to lead a Bible study. One night, he stated at the study that he found over 100 verses about money. Someone responded by arguing that God was not that interested in the subject of our money. So Larry dug into the Bible and came back armed with over 700 verses highlighted about money in the Bible and started to organize them. Crown Financial Ministries now says that there are actually about 2,350 verses on finances and possessions in the Bible. That is more verses, more material, than all 13 letters in the New Testament that Paul wrote. God obviously cares about our view of possessions to instruct us that much about it. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." He is saying that what we do with our money and our possessions reveals our real priorities. It is that simple. So what we study in these pages is not secular nor spiritual. God is talking to us about a spiritual thermometer, a way to measure what is really going on in our hearts with God. So what we study in these pages is not secular or non-spiritual. Material things in the beginning. A good place to begin a study of the subject of money and material things is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We learn here, as the Bible opens, that God owns everything because He created it. David wrote, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. If God made it, He owns it." A few years ago, I made a decorative mailbox for our house using leftover cedar siding from our house renovation. I own the materials. Then I designed it with a lower box for the newspaper and a sloped roof and walls enclosing the metal mailbox. It even has a hook at the back for a hanging plant. Okay, I'm proud of it. I designed it, built it, and placed it on my property. I obviously own it because creation establishes ownership. God made the whole earth, so it's all His. He then put man in it and gave Adam the first job to rule over the animals and to tend the garden. As their salary, Adam and Eve would eat of anything in the garden except the tree, of course. Like Adam and Eve, we were also created by God. We have been given food by God. We have been given a place to live by God. We belong to God along with everything else we think is ours. But it's all God's stuff. It was a great garden residence that God gave Adam and Eve. The garden even had gold and other valuables. But anything they had really must not have been theirs. We know that because when they sinned, they were driven out from the garden and didn't take anything with them. They lived in God's garden, enjoyed God's fruit, food gifts, and everything else, but it was all God's. Because of sin, they lost access to it all. If we ever have lost our job, gone bankrupt, watched our portfolio shrink, had someone repossessed, or something repossessed, or even been forced to downsize or sell off, we should have learned that everything belongs to God. He creates wealth and everything else. He gives us it to use, but none of it is really our possession. If it can be taken away, it is not ours. You can't take it with you. If you don't learn by it, life experiences, there is something we should learn from every funeral. We don't own anything because we don't take it with us. Solomon, the wisest man ever, said, "Naked a man came from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand." The Apostle Paul concurred, "For we brought nothing into the world and can take nothing out of it." Job, at his lowest point, worshipfully agreed, saying, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." God didn't stutter about temporary material things. We only have them for a little while. If you've ever gone into a Neiman Marcus department store, you quickly notice you're in upscale territory. My wife and I ambled through their stores in Dallas and Chicago. It was entertaining because we never did intend to buy the $27,000 alligator handbag. Let's say that someone was given a one-hour shopping spree at Neiman Marcus. They can have everything they can carry from the store in their own car in 1 hour. Sounds like fun, right? But now consider this disturbing thought. What if in the exertion and excitement of running frantically for an hour, the person suffered a heart attack and died, with their car filled with hundreds of thousands of dollars of merchandise? They owned it all right, but only for a few moments. It was in their car, but when they died, they left it. That is basically a fast-forward metaphor of real life, that God's perspective on finances, that's God's perspective on finances. No matter what we gain materially, it is short-lived. Whether it's a $27,000 handbag from Neiman Marcus, or if it's a 15-year-old car we drive to work, it's all staying here. It's all borrowed. The heart attack or some form of death is coming. That means I need to emotionally pry my fingers off of what I thought I owned. And with that in view, we must conclude that we are not owners, we are stewards. Stewardship is the most basic of all biblical concepts about material things. So what is a steward? Very simply, stewards manage the property of others. It doesn't belong to us, it belongs to Him. We know that with tithing, we know where the first 10% goes because He told us where it goes. Because it all belongs to Him, now we pray about what we should do with the other 90%. We don't have to struggle with any of it, whether it's the 10% or whether it's the remaining 90%. We obey God. We pay the tithe, the 10%, and now we say, God, what do we do with the rest? Well, He says, and we know this, is that pay your bills. Don't owe any man anything. So we pay our bills. And on it goes. What should I do with my money? We should get to the point where we say, God, what should I do with my money when I'm spending it on things that's going to require me making payments? God, is this a wise choice? Is this something You really want me doing? Or is this just coming from my selfish heart? But it's all about stewardship. How we give the tithe, first of all, to the Lord. Secondly, as an act of worship or obedience. Next, with the desire and intent that the work of the ministry will continue and prosper. Next, willingly and cheerfully. Next, as husband and wife, as one, wherever possible. There are times when if there's an unbelieving partner, then the believing partner should do their best to obey God regardless of the other. And there's a scriptural precedence for that with Abigail giving to David, even though her husband was about to get everybody killed because of his actions. How else do we give to God? We give expectantly. We expect Malachi chapter 3:10, where He says, "Prove me now that I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." We are to give expecting that we are entering into this cycle of giving and receiving. And as we continue to do our part, God will continue to do His part. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 12 through 16. "When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase of the year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled, then thou shalt say before the Lord, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and I have given them unto the Levite, unto the stranger, to the fatherless, to the widow, according to thy commandments, which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten of any of those things in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught of, therefore, of any unclean use, for any unclean use, or given it, therefore, to the dead, but I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy mountain from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, and swearest unto thy fathers, the land floweth with milk and honey. This day the Lord thy God commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with thine heart and with all thy soul." As we give, we should give expectantly. Say, "Lord, I am obeying you. I'm believing you now to do your part. Bless me according to your word." We're getting close to the end here. I think I will continue on next week with the rest. I've got some thoughts that I'd like to share, and I've got some more scripture on tithing, but we will stop here today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clear admonition of your word. Help us to understand. Help us to be obedient, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.